to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to Shoot the Defence on FNX, brought to you by My Sportswear Youth Energy and Save Association. I'm your host, Stel, and on this edition, I was joined by former Arsenal trainee and Brighton defender, Vala Fanagislason. And here's how it went. So, Vala, welcome to Shoot the Defence, my friend. Thank you ever so much for your time. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm brilliant, actually. The sun is shining in Iceland, so we are very pleased when you see the when you see the sun in Iceland, and that's all we need, basically.
Doesn't happen that often, does it?
it happens, but it's a bit cold as well. But now it's a brilliant weather. I'm outside here walking, so you have to appreciate that.
Absolutely, and after last year's European Championship campaign, the sun is shining all the time in Iceland, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. We are quite well. We are very proud of the team, and they did unbelievable work. So, of course, we are very proud of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Vala, tell us about the early stage of your career before you signed for Arsenal, like where you first started playing football and things like that.
Yeah, basically, I grew up in the east coast of Iceland in a small village or town with a population of 1,000 people, and I basically was there playing football day in, day out. And when I was 16, I moved to Reykjavik, the capital, and started my, well, if you can say so, my career there, and started playing for the youth national teams. And then I played, I think I was 19 or 18, 19 when I moved to Arsenal. And it wasn't that, well, it was a little bit different back then. It was 96, I think. So it wasn't as common as it is today. But yeah, it worked quite well, actually. I was, actually, my younger brother was spotted playing for the under 16 and was invited to come to Arsenal. And we said that, oh, well, the guys, I think it was my father, who said, well, he would not be able to come unless his big brother would come as well.
Right.
So we both joined Arsenal came to Arsenal on a trial, and we both signed, actually.
Oh, brilliant. Fantastic. So I'll take it this is how Arsenal found out about you, through the under-19s or the under-17s who you represented.
Yeah, that was the way, yeah. So we came there for 2 weeks, I think it was, and it turned out quite well, and we both ended up being signed. I don't know how many trial lists they get and every year, but at least it worked out for both of us that time.
That's right. So who at the club contacted you, and what did they propose?
Well, it was just like I didn't have any contract in Iceland, more or less. It was a free trial. I mean, I just said to my club in Iceland, I'm going to Arsenal, and they're like, all right. And it was no transfer fee involved at that time. I was just offered I think it was 2 or 3 years contract, and basically what I had to do, I just got the message that I had to be there, I think sometimes in June, and I was basically on my own. I had to find out everything and figure out everything on my own, renting the apartment. And I was 19-year-old, I had never been to London before. I had travelled to a few countries with the national team, the youth team. So basically I got the information, you have to be there on June 23rd or whatever. And so I just came to London with my wife and my younger brother, and we just, took the tube from Heathrow to North London and stayed at a hotel for a few weeks until we found our flat. And I was quite actually good. responsibility there. Mm. That you know, have to figure everything out yourself. It's a bit different today, I think it is.
Yeah, I think these days...
It was an experience.
Yeah, I think these days they're more looked after, aren't they? But what kind of an experience was it for you? Because, you know, as you said, you're quite young, you came over, you've never been to England before. You know the language. I take it you knew the language back then.
Well, yeah, everybody in Iceland knows the language, more or less. that's not a problem. And, I mean, everything regarding... If you compare Iceland and England, it's not so different. You know, the mentality and you know, the humor and the people, and it's no huge cultural, you know, step or difference between. So it's not so difficult for the Icelanders to adopt or to, you know, to be well involved in the English, you know, mentality or society.
Yeah. So, did the club find you a flat, or was that something you had to do yourself? I'm quite intrigued to find out your process of when you came over.
Well, I think afterwards I heard that, I mean, they get so many trialists every year. And it was a little bit, they don't usually sign a trialist. But we did quite well. I remember I played everything is, you know, related to, you have to be in the right time, at the right place, with the right people watching and everything. And that actually worked out there. We were playing it was a game, and it's a, you know, it's a derby game, and we have the manager, Bruce Rieck, at the time, and the head coaches, the scouts and everybody were watching. And I just had a really good game, and we won them 3-0 or 4-0, I think. And if we had been playing Leyden Orient or something, perhaps it might not have worked. You know, you have to be lucky as well in this, to be, you know, in the right place, right time, and get the signings and so on. So that turned out quite well, actually. So I was, of course, a little bit lucky as well, I think.
Mm, absolutely. So you were at Arsenal for about 2 seasons, but I know you spent some time at Brighton under Steve Gritt and Brian Houghton. What did you gain from that experience?
Well, it wasn't a long period. It was a couple of months, I think it was, because right, short after I moved to Norway to play. So I moved from Arsenal to Norway to play in the Norwegian league, and that was at the time when, you know, almost every club in the Premier League had a Norwegian player.
Yeah.
So they were moving, you know, players from Norway in containers every week. It was like unreal. So basically the plan was to, you know, okay, let's go to Norway for a couple of years, you know, and then come back. That was the plan at the time. But that didn't work out. But nonetheless, I spent some 3 years in Norway, and then basically I wasn't interested anymore to stay there, and I moved back to Iceland, and and played there until I stopped. And there were some offers coming up all the time, well, small ones, but that didn't interest me really to move my family somewhere abroad again. For some hustling, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a real deal. It was like more like, okay, you come over, something might happen, something might not happen. So, I wasn't so interested in doing that at that time.
Right. Fair enough. Well, there's an ongoing debate in the UK about whether or not the loan system works, or Premier League sides should have B teams in lower divisions. What is your take on this? Does the loan system work?
I think so. I mean, the most important thing for a player is to play regularly, and it's always better to play in a, you know, in a, if, for example, in a, if you land down to a third or fourth, whatever division, it's a more competitive, and it's more real. You know, it's a competition there, so you get a real game, and you know, adopt to different types of systems or strengths or whatever. So I think there's always something you can take with you, and I think that's really important to, you know, to play regularly, because you know, to boost your confidence and everything. So I think so. It's better than playing, train with, you know, if you're training with, for example, with some good people and good players, of course you learn from them. But I think it's more important to play regularly and get the experience from there.
Fantastic. So, what did you enjoy most about your time at Arsenal?
Well, I came in June, and at that time there were the, you know, still some, you know, the people that were running the club were the ones that, you know, it was Bruce, I think it was Bruce Rea who was still the manager and the whole team around him. And like 1 month later, everything was changed, you know, mm-hmm. and Arsene Wenger came in, of course, with different ideas and different people behind him. And yeah, and he's still there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Basically. Yeah, he's still there. And it was quite interesting. We were playing, I think he has lifted up the standards yep. so much regarding everything, you know, the training facilities and everything that he's done for the club. He's just lifted up. And I think what he's done is like, it's unreal. But at the time we were playing, or we were training at the, I don't remember the name of the training, or London Colony or whatever. It was up, yeah. It was different. It was different. But then we were training with at the same time, and with, you know, with the first team. And for me as a 19-year-old, it was such a, you know, of course, experience to do that. And my coach at the time was George Armstrong.
Right.
Yeah, and I learned a lot from him. He was, you know, an old school coach, and but he's a really nice guy, and you know, I miss that time. Of course, sometimes I do that. Of course,
absolutely. So, what do you remember about your time with the squad back then? Because obviously, the senior squad had the likes of Tony Adams. I think Ian Wright was there. Obviously, Andy yeah. Linnegan, Keown, even Dennis Bergkamp were there. But did you mix with yeah. those players?
Yeah, yeah, we trained with them, and we had played some, you know, of course, some games with them, some pre-season games and some reserve teams if they were recovering from some injuries and things like that. So, yeah, and as I recall, they, you know, they were all such nice guys, so, and always willing to help and give some ideas, and so it was no problem being around or being involved. They just always giving us some, you know, ideas and tips how to do and so on. So that helped us a lot.
That group of players, they kind of built the foundation for what eventually went on yeah. to be the unbeatables or the invincibles. When you look at the current Arsenal squad, and they haven't won the league since the Invincibles season, do you think it's because they haven't had those senior players there to kind of pass the torch, so to speak?
I don't know. I don't know what to say there. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, of course, they have had some brilliant players, and some of them have stayed there for quite some time. But, yeah, perhaps the foundation is not the same. And but, I mean, a lot of the players have played there for many years and should be part of, you know, the Arsenal, and be a part of, you know, get the Arsenal, you know, the feeling and everything. I mean, of course, because, you know, if you see Arsene Wenger, he's always bringing some, you know, he used to have his assistant. Now he has Steve Bould, who has, you know, who knows everything in and out for Arsenal. And before that, you know, he had his, what's his name again?
Pat Rice?
Used to be. Yeah, Pat Rice. So, I mean, he's using the, you know, he's using the foundation there. You know, don't change everything. He has always the guys who have been there for many years on his side to keep the Arsenal spirit and to keep the Arsenal foundation. So I think that's good, important as well.
That's right.
And I mean, he's been running a bit differently than the others. He hasn't been so, you know, active in the last decade or so to buy those extremely expensive players. He has more, you know, found them and raised them up and yep. sold them. And maybe because of the pressure, he's changing it a little bit now. But I don't know. I think it's been going quite well, except that they haven't won the trophies.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the thing is, I'm not sure if this was a big thing in Iceland, but Wenger's received a lot of criticism over the past few seasons, not only by the British media, but also from Arsenal fans. Does he deserve it, or should most of the negativity be directed elsewhere?
I mean, we get all the news from England. I mean, from the football, we know everything.
Right.
In Iceland, you know everything about English football. So it's more or less like a religion here. Everybody knows everything, and everybody has a comment on basically everything what happens. And it's like in Iceland, if you meet somebody for the first time, you come, you shake his hand and you say, "Hey, hi, my name is Valur, and who do you support in England?" So you categorize them, you know, in the beginning,
right,
where they stand, in what team they support. So it's not like, you know, that's more or less always the second question after your name,
right,
what team do you support?
Brilliant.
So we are very, very into the football in England. But I don't know. Of course, he's been having a lot of criticism over the years. And of course, you can understand that. Everybody wants, you know, they want the trophy. And the owners have been very, they've given him a lot of time. And that's the only reason is that he delivers for the owners, you know. And that's what really counts in the end for the owners. But for the supporters, it's a different story, isn't it? So I don't know what to say, if I can criticism anything. But, you know, of course, the fans are getting a little bit desperate to wait for the big one, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. And, Valur, just before I let you go, mate, why do you think it didn't work out for you? Is there anything that you could pinpoint and say, yeah, maybe I could have got improved here or there?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. Well, if I look back, well, you know, I've been, you know, doing some thinking over the years, of course. But perhaps when I moved to Norway, that was the first one, and maybe I could have stayed a little bit longer and moved to another club in England, because it's always easier to go from the top to another club instead of, you know, going to climb to the top. So, I mean, I just remember one of the guy who was playing with me there, friend. Well, I haven't spoken to him since I was there, but I think, you know, Richard Hughes was his name. He went to Portsmouth, didn't he? I think he played like 200 or 300 Premier League games.
Yep.
And there were some others that went to the first division or whatever and had a good career. So, I mean, I could have done that perhaps, but I don't regret anything. I just went, you know, a little bit different path, and afterwards I'm just pleased with everything. But to be honest, of course, I've been scratching my head a little bit, asking myself why it didn't work out. But like I said in the beginning, sometimes you have to be lucky and be, you know, in the right place in the right time. And I sure was that when I was there in the trial in the beginning. And perhaps I wasn't that later on, but no regrets, no regrets. Everything is fine.
That's fantastic, because you've got some great stories, I presume, and great times. On a final note, you mentioned being at the right place at the right time. There's a fellow called Gylfi Sigurdsson. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
he doesn't need to be in the right place at the right time, because he's in the top. He's part of the guys who has it. And it's a brilliant move for him, and brilliant move for, you know, and brilliant thing for Everton to have him. And everybody is so pleased in Iceland. We've been following and waiting for this to happen for weeks, and it's just a brilliant thing, isn't it? So we're really proud of him.
That's right, that's right. Well, Valur, thank you ever so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it. Hopefully you can come back on and we can talk a bit more about Arsenal at some point.
Yeah, be free to give me a call anytime, no worries. I'm only a phone call away.
Great stuff. And are you on any form of social media or anything like that?
Well, I'm no Twitter guy, I'm no Instagram guy, I'm just a mobile guy.
Don't worry, I won't
give
our listeners your number. I won't give our listeners your number, don't worry. Well, thank you ever so much for your time, mate. Really appreciate it. We'll speak soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Take care.